My morning routine is absolute chaos, and the goal is to get the girls out of the house as quickly as possible. That's like 15 to 20 minutes, and the girls are dressed in the car, and we are on the road. That is my morning routine.
Thank you for the truth of chaos, because people, it's not pretty getting these kids out the
No.
door.
It's a fun game that we play every morning.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. What a perfect way and segue to talk about today's guest. She is an entrepreneur and naturopathic doctor, kind of my favorite kind of chick, and she is unapologetically interested in driving her entrepreneurial spirit and finding ways to have massive impact within this profession. I was really excited to sit down and talk with our guest today, Dr. Andrea Maxim, because I wanted to get her take on a few things. What were the trends she was seeing within entrepreneurism in general? Where does she think we should be investing our time and energy as we move into 2018? And what are some of the common elements that she has seen both through her own journey and with her clients in terms of successful outcomes? This is a great interview because it is the balance between business through the lens of someone who's in healthcare, who understands the need to have boundaries and limitations in terms of how far we push. We also talk about what it means to really be an overnight success and the 10 years of work that it takes to get to that place. This is an interview for people who are interested in understanding how you can be compassionate in looking for a career and helping others, but the type of hustle and strategy and self-investment that goes along with it. It was an exciting way to look at what's coming up in 2018, and it's going to give you tons of little ideas and nuggets and focus points as we move into another year of impact. It is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Andrea Maxim. Dr. Andrea Maxim, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for inviting me on this.
Well, I'm excited to do this. We've jammed out on podcasts before, but it's always where you have the chance to interview me. And now I'm really excited to turn the tables here.
Me too. Let's get at it.
Well, it's sort of rare to come across a clinician, you're a naturopathic doctor, who is also an entrepreneur, like really loves to get out there and build stuff. Take us through the journey that got you here.
For me, you know what? I was kind of reflecting on this because I figured that this would come up in the show. People always like to know people's background stories. And I don't really know what I could say if there is a journey that got me here. I think for me, I'm lucky enough to have very business-minded entrepreneurial family members. Like my stepdad and my mom are very entrepreneurial. And I think their exposure of the Dragon's Den and Shark Tank to me at an early age, while I was kind of going through school and learning the language of entrepreneurship, like I didn't really understand what the deals meant when they said, I'm going to offer 10% at this much. And then they figured out how much the business was worth. It took me like a whole season to figure out that math. And I think exposing myself to that was kind of a pivotal point for me. And I also have a very strong-minded mom who is very much like business-oriented, like work hard, work 60 hours a week, and then you get your, you know, your prize at the end. Like until you've really hustled and worked and grinded for a little while, you don't really deserve to, you know, have weekends off and days off. Like that's just kind of the mindset of my mom coming from a very strict Dutch background. And I think that really served me well, to be quite honest with you, is that was just kind of like, okay, if I'm going to make this happen, I'm going to go all in. I'm going to align myself and learn as much as I can. And I don't think there was ever a period in my journey where I ever thought, oh, you know what, I think I'm going to do this on the side, or, you know, I never was fearful of making investments because I always knew that I had the drive to, if I bet big, I would win big. And that's luckily served me very well over these past 6 years. But I really didn't deviate from the end game. And I also had a smart enough mindset to know that everything I'm doing right now is for the long haul. So I think a lot of entrepreneurs are always looking for quick results, quick fixes, quick cash-ins, and it just doesn't work that way. I knew if I could do everything I possibly could, you know, worked as hard as I could for the first couple of years, then the rest of my career was just going to feed off of that work. And again, that has paid off. But being comfortable with knowing, okay, it might take 5 years, 10 years, 15 years to see massive ROI on all of my effort. And luckily, it hasn't had to take that long. But at least having that mindset there took away a lot of the stress too, of always being like, well, why isn't this working? And when is this going to turn around? I just always had faith. And that was really what I think brought me to where I am now.
Yeah, I really love that, because I think sometimes we picture these overnight successes, and overnight successes take like 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's one of those perceptions. You mentioned something when you were talking about that, that I'm always interested in. And this was the concept of end game. Because sometimes it's easy when we're coming out of school and we've got debt, or we need to drive revenue. We're like, okay, well, that's my goal, right? I want to hit 100 grand. I want to hit 200 grand. When you talk about end game, what are you talking about?
I think it was never a financial goal. I never put finances into play until I actually did a business retreat last year in Laguna Beach with one of my mentors, James Wedmore, who's really big in the online space. I never put down number as a goal. And I don't know why that was. I think for me, I always knew that the financial piece was going to work itself out. I always pictured myself, you know, living the life that others dream of when I'm 40, 50, 60. But I think for me, it was more getting to that level of comfort, having my week like fully booked, or at least getting to a place of consistent revenue. So I always know every single shift I'm going to make X amount of dollars. If I don't, it could be seasonal. It could be just a weird day. But I've hit that place where I can now pretty much guarantee by the end of the year, I'm going to make X amount of dollars, because I just kind of wanted to set my practice up that way. So that was one of the end game things, was not needing to hustle as much to get new patients into my door, because they just naturally are coming now because of word of mouth, and not always having to worry about filling up all of my time slots, because it's naturally being filled up by patients rebooking and new patients booking in. And for me, that was one of the stepping stones as my end game is, you know, I was going from working 7 days a week, at least 10 hours a day, barely eating anything throughout the day, because I was just working, like I would live off protein bars for the first little while, to now working maybe 25 hours in my practice and having more of a life and not being afraid that I'm not going to pay my bills at the end. So from a stress end game, that was a massive one that I've hit. And now that things are kind of coasting, now the next end game is sort of, okay, well, how many people can I get on my list? How many coaching clients can I get? How many new patients could I get in a year? And now it's sort of like playing with the numbers a little bit more and seeing how big I can expand without tapping myself out. And this is another big piece that I think we may be able to touch on later, but being very realistic about what that end game looks like. You know, for me, it's not to reach $1 million every year, because I know how hard you have to work to do that. I know how hard it took me to make $250,000 in a year. And I know what crazy weeks can look like where you're just balling when it comes to your revenue, but I'm coming home drained and exhausted. And I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to be around my kids. I have nothing nice to say to anybody. So being very mindful of what the real end game looks like, I think is also important for people to reflect on. And I'm just good with just having money in the bank and running my clinic without having to spend, you know, 60 to 80 hours doing that.
Right, because then you don't have a life.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, what is the point when you're running yourself ragged? You know, as you're talking about this and you're really sort of picturing what your ideal life would look like, you kept saying, you know, I just knew I could do it. I just had faith that I could do that. Where did that mindset come from? Because I feel like people go one of two ways. They're kind of like, oh yeah, of course I can do this one step at a time. I'm going to get there. I can just picture myself doing it. And then there's people who are like, I am scared. I am scared of failure. I can't picture this. I did one thing that didn't work out once in my life, and therefore nothing's ever going to work. Like, what is it about your psychology or your story that brought you to this place where you are able to focus on the upside?
You know what? That's a really great question, and something that I've kind of looked back on as well. And I would have to give major props to my mom. Again, being that independent, driven, successful female role model who has unconditionally always just said, like, even in school, she was like, just don't fail, like, just pass, like, just don't have to repeat that course again, and then move on with your life. And I think that level of acceptance really did roll into my psyche as being like, okay, all I need to do is just do it, just get through it, do the best that you can. It's not going to be the end of the world. Then the other piece that I mentally go through, and I can reflect on this with seminars specifically. So seminars and speaking gigs for a lot of people are incredibly terrifying. And I really started to develop the mindset of, what is the worst possible outcome if I do this? So if I do a seminar and I've put in, let's say, a day's worth of work, threw some slides together, it's flowing good enough, whatever. And I go up there in front of these people and I completely bomb it. What is the worst possible outcome of that is that none of those people will come and see me as a patient. Whatever. I can live with that. So when we're talking about now a business, I go into my business and say, okay, if I make this investment, what is the worst possible outcome that could happen if this were not to work out? And usually it's like it's just you don't get the money back on your investment. That's really kind of the worst case scenario. And then I say, okay, if that were to happen, how detrimental would that be? Or how long would it take for me to recover from that? And I just talk to myself very logically and just say, okay, you know, at the very least, I want to break even. At the very least, that would be a success for me. But as you go through these learning experiences and as you start being more comfortable taking risks and realizing that the outcomes are not nearly as dramatic as I think we play them up in my head, the less sensitive you are to succumbing to that negative mindset. Meaning, just like Tony Robbins, he has his belief cycle where if you believe you can do it and then you take action on that, and even if you're slightly successful or at least your action piece is that you actually did it, you're more likely to then upscale that loop in that you will then believe that you can do it again and you will take action on that and you'll keep going upwards versus people that their belief is that they can't do it. Therefore, their action is they don't do anything. And then, of course, that belief scale goes the opposite direction. So I think for me, having a little bit of that fearlessness and that courage to at least do something, like at least do a webinar for my first time, at least step in front of people and do a seminar, at least make an investment and just kind of weigh the pros and cons. Is there any other way that I could fund this if this were to be a complete flop, which has absolutely happened? The more I did that, the more easier it became to continue to do that. So then the question becomes, for those people that aren't there, that aren't in that positive place, what is the story that you are telling yourself to keep you in that negative mindset? And this is something that Jim Fortin, who I had the pleasure of seeing live last month, he was on stage and he was talking about this, and he said, basically, your mindset is all made up of the stories you tell yourself. So going back to my example of a seminar, I could absolutely tell myself the story of, you didn't work hard enough on your presentation, everyone's going to hate it, you're not going to get any new patients from it, it's going to be an epic failure, and then my next action step is to just cancel it, right? And that's a story that I've now created for myself, and my belief now that I just can't do seminars, no one's going to buy it, I'm just going to be the laughing stock. But if I change that story to, yeah, you know, you didn't put a ton of effort in, hopefully people will ask more questions, or you left enough space to at least engage the audience, or, you know, you could completely go on a tangent and people will love that. And if you don't get any patients, that's fine, but at least everyone will enjoy your seminar. Well, then I'm more likely to step up, go, and then see what the outcome is. So I encourage people, when they're thinking about these things, really think about the stories that you're creating for yourself, because those stories are not factual. I can guarantee it that the stories you've created have no factual basis to them at all. Otherwise, then we'd be talking about cold hard facts. And then facts are a lot easier to digest. But we love to create these negative stories. And then the other part that you mentioned is, well, I've done this in the past and it didn't work out for me. And one of my favorite quotes that I also kind of rehearse in my head is, what got you here is not going to get you there. And I forget the author of that. I think it's Michael something or other. But that's a really important piece for people to understand, is whatever has happened in your past has no dictation on what the future will hold. So if you bombed a test, if you bombed a seminar, if you bombed like a week's worth of patients, that in no way will dictate how your next seminar is going to go, or how your next week of patients is going to look, or how this, that, or the other thing happens. And I feel like, again, we get so trapped in those past stories that we don't allow ourselves to move forward in the future. So I think having that kind of clean slate mindset as well helps me continue to do what I'm doing, because I'm like, okay, it happened, whatever, it's in the past. I'll never, you know, repeat that past mistake again, because it's in the past. Everything that I do now is all about moving forward in the future. So I hope that kind of answers that question.
Yeah, I love that. There's a few things that I'm reflecting on there. One is this idea, just in general, with respect to failure, you don't get success without it. They are married, they travel together, they are kind of best friends. So the more success someone has, usually the more failures they have as well. They just usually don't put that in their bio. And I think it's so important to say that, because I mean, we both work with clients in terms of coaching them in their businesses. And all the time, the story they're telling themselves is, oh, this was a failure in the past, therefore. And I'm like, yeah, you have a failure under your belt. Good for you. It's the life experience you need to propel you forward. I get worried when people have never had that failure. Mm-hmm. So I just, yeah. I wanted to throw that in. And the other thing, I'm not sure if you're aware of this as you were talking, but all the things that you were talking, I do the worst case scenario thing too. And I find it just makes everything, it just puts perspective on things so quickly, right? Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, this is the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But where I realized that got even more effective for me in my own life is when I realized I went to worst case scenario and I didn't care about what people thought. And everything you just said, never once were you like, worst case scenario, people are going to laugh at me. And so there are still a lot of people who are still like, oh, I know, but my worst case scenario is that I walk off the stage and everyone thinks I'm a failure, or everyone thinks this. And so where I'm taking this dialogue is, you posted something recently, you think you did a podcast on it, but I read it as a blog post related to Gretchen Rubin's four tendencies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So my question to you, and we can get into what the four tendencies are. Are you a total rebel? Like, do you not care what people think? Because everything
No.
you said was like profoundly detached from other people's opinions, which maybe you were aware of it, but I was listening to it. I'm like, damn girl, you're just not worried about what other people think. Like, that gives you just an inherent boost up in terms of bravery.
Well, you know what? I will tell you, I am a massive obliger. So again, check out the four tendencies on Gretchen Rubin's website so you understand what we're talking about. I am 100% an obliger, but I have a rebel tendency, which is really bad. Meaning, So as an obliger, I am constantly trying to uphold the needs of everybody else around me. And this is more apparent than I ever thought, because I didn't understand it until I did I read the book. I am that way 100% with my husband and our kids. And it's very, very difficult for me to want to leave Brooklyn with him. He is a more than capable father. It's very hard for me to say, okay, I'm going to leave Brooklyn with you so I can go to the gym, or I'm going to leave the kids with you just for 45 minutes so I can go do this for myself. And that is where the obliger tendency comes in the most with me, is in my family life. Where the rebel piece starts to come in, and this is what you're talking about, is I get to a point where I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, balls to this. I'm out. Peace. See you later. And I completely cut all emotional ties with everything. And I actually struggled with this with my clinic and with my, both of my businesses, my online business, but mostly my clinic. I was constantly being like, I'm bending over backwards for these patients. I am going out of my way to deliver supplements to them. I am getting supplements like dropped off at the office on my days off so that they can pick them up. And it's still been weeks and they haven't been picked up. And all these things, like doing the administrative, making their life as easy as possible. And there was definitely a year there where I played back and forth being like, you know what? I think I'm just going to tap out. Like, I'm done. I'm so done. I'm feeling exhausted and drained, and I'm letting everybody kind of control my life. So I think that's where you're picking up on that is I'm innately, I'm an absolute obliger, 100%. But my downfall to that is if you push me too hard, if I'm obliging too much, then I'll just peace out and like leave. I'll just walk right.
You have the obliger rebellion.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't read Gretchen Rubin's book, The Four Tendencies, it's so interesting. It took me a little bit of time to get into it. And then once I was into it, I categorized everybody in my life. I couldn't help it. I was like, oh, this just makes so much more sense now. Yeah. It's a really cool way of understanding people's emotional needs as it pertains to interacting with other people. I love your insight and I love your commitment to learning. And I know you've been sort of on the front lines. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you around this time of year is because you straddle this really cool line between being a healthcare practitioner. So you get it, you get that, you're mindful of that side of things, but you're also a hustling entrepreneur. And I know we have people who straddle both of those lines in our audience. So I was wondering if you could speak to a little bit as what you see as some of the key marketing trends for small business, maybe healthcare and people, the empaths in particular, over the next year?
The biggest piece, and this is probably going to scare a lot of people, is quite frankly, video. Like, video is becoming the number one seen, heard, watched piece of social media out there. And the more people can do video, I think the more engagement you will see with your posts. And for me, I've been doing video since the get-go, since I started my practice. And I still have patients that before they book in with me will say, oh yeah, I watched all of your videos and I feel like I know you already. So we can just kind of get going from that point forward.
Yeah, so, I'm just going to interject there. Video is amazing. Like, the level of engagement, and absolutely, it builds trust so much faster when people can see you because there's so many a nonverbal cues that people will pick up from that. I didn't want to interrupt you, but
no, that's great. Yeah. And that's exactly, I think the big piece is, you know, you can read blogs and you can kind of gauge the person's personality from their writing. But if you don't hear how they explain things, and of course the way we explain things, we're always adding in a lot more than we would ever write in a blog because we go on little tangents and tell little stories and it becomes a little bit more free flowing. So that is a big piece. And then the other, probably the biggest piece when it comes to business, is the one-on-one connection. And I can tell you this from personal experience. I can tell you this from financial outcome, is like literally reaching out to your audience. Let's say you're selling a program online. You can kind of track everybody who signed up for the webinar. You can track all the people that bought, the people that didn't buy. didn't buy, you could reach out to every single one of those people that didn't buy or haven't purchased yet. And you can say, hey, I saw that you watched my webinar. You haven't purchased my product yet. I'm just curious, you know, if there's any questions that I can answer for you or if you'd like to hop on a call. And by reaching out to them personally, and I do this over Facebook Messenger all the time, and even patients engage with me over Facebook Messenger, so they feel like they have instant access to me personally. It really does help to, number one, make the sale, but it more than anything, it helps to make that relationship stronger because they're like, oh my goodness, like this person actually took their time to get back to me, or they actually took, they went out of their way to find me and reach out to me personally. Like they must really want me to be successful. And I think the more we always hear about automation funnels and email funnels and blah, 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 you know, that's going to reach a saturation point. So if you can take it to the next level and really start to reach out to your list personally and invite people into a discovery call or a quick Facebook Live call or something like that and engage with them more one-on-one or in small groups, I think you will find that your success will be monumentally greater than it ever has been because people really do need that personalized touch more than any time, I think, in history. This is when people really want to feel like they are someone.
Well, and we just have so many electronic or otherwise barriers between, like nothing is real anymore. We have, I think our brains are having a hard time understanding what is real and what is sincere. You know, when you talk about that direct access and doesn't matter what kind of entrepreneur you are, part of that scaling is starting to limit your access. How do you find that balance? How do you find that you can have these personal touch points with people, but then also step back so that you're not constantly in the weeds of your business?
That's not something that's an issue for me just yet, but that's always something that I think as people scale, it is a element that you will have to control. But I think even being the leader of the ship and letting people know, you know what, if it's not me, it's my team. And this team I trust with my, like every ounce of my being, they've been with me this whole time. They will absolutely take care of you. And if it is something that I still need to touch on, I will 100% be there. So I don't think it necessarily has to be you as the first point of contact, but at least ensuring that these people aren't going to get some random person from overseas answering a phone call who has no connection with you or the business at all. And saying, you know what, if it's not you, I have two other people that I work closely with. They'll take care of you. I think that would be equally fine. And even when somebody says, you know, if I'm looking for extra support, they said, sorry, I'd like to refer you to my support person. Then even having that level of, okay, they're going to guide me to the person that can answer my question the best way possible. They're the expert on this. I feel like I'm in great hands. And I think we can even refer that back to the healthcare industry of, okay, yeah, you know, I have a limit as to what I'm successful at treating you for, but now I'd like to refer you to this person. And then that patient still feels like I've done an amazing job by them because I found them somebody who will get them the results that they want. It isn't me, but it was through my referral that happened. So there are, I think, strategic ways to do that.
Yeah, it's always something that I am really mindful of. How do I train the people around me? And I say that really respectfully, not my team, but my family or my friends or my patients. How do I train them to interact with me in a way that is generous with respect to my boundaries? I find that a work in progress and something that I'm always trying to figure out, but I believe people treat us the way we train them to treat us. So and I watch this with my kids all the time when they're screaming or they're doing this, I'm like, oh, this is my training issue. So these are really, really great points. Overall, I want to get a sense of where you are going this year and where you've come from, in particular with respect to where do you invest your time or your money in terms of personal growth? Because the ideas that you are sharing are not just things that you're like, oh, I was born with all of these. Like clearly you've come through, clearly you've come through experience and you've done the work. What's the best investment you have ever made in yourself?
My biggest investment was the one that I just made last week. And it's a $10,000 next level mastermind. And that was in US dollars. So I had the privilege of holding $9,500 in my hand, going from one bank to the next bank and being like, here you go. And like, I took pictures and videos of me with this because I never held that much cash in my hands. And what got me to this place is realizing how important it is for me to be investing in people that hold me accountable. And I say that that's no different than what we expect of our patients, of a personal trainer, of a dietitian, a nutritionist. Like, all these people are helping us be accountable. Knowing now why I can't do things on my own accord, being a true obliger, so obligers put themselves last always, I said, you know what? If that's me, I'm absolutely investing in people that will keep me accountable. So I have a coach right now that we check in every single week, and he makes sure that I'm following up with all of the goals that I've created for myself and not going on shiny object tangents. And then I started working with James when he had just started, like, he hadn't even created his Business by Design course. I was a beta member, and I it was a contest. It was a video contest to get free coaching. That's how it was. And I was like, damn, if I can even like win this, that would be amazing. So I landed the free spot. And since working with him over the past year, that's what brought me to now invest in his next level group, is because I was like, wow, I cannot believe how being surrounded by people that are in the same mind frame as me, like, they all want to hustle and kill it and grow and take crazy leaps in their business that they've never done before. And a crazy leap could be doing your first Facebook Live. Like, on my own accord, I think I still probably wouldn't have done that. On my own accord, I still probably wouldn't have done a webinar if it was just left up to my own drive to do it, because I would have found all the excuses to not do it. And that's really where I've been putting the most of my time and money investment, is being in these groups of people that are just like me, and they are starting from the place that I started, or now I'm a little bit further and I'm still watching these people make these, you know, monumental steps, which to me now are commonplace. But it's also a great environment to be reflecting on, oh yeah, I remember when I did that for the first time. So that's really what I'm investing in more, is being around like-minded people and keeping very much in tune with that whole, you are the five people you surround yourself with. And I really want to surround myself with people that I want to either become or emulate or just get beautiful energy from.
Yeah, I love those key points. It's an amazing when you're around a group of people where you just sort of take success and acceleration and hard work and strategic thinking for granted. When you just cross that line where you're like, well, I just expect it. I also just expect some things won't work, but I'm equally okay with that. Like, you're indifferent to the fact that both are going to happen. It's a very liberating place. I'm really excited for you. That's amazing.
Thanks.
It's also this idea that when we're accountable, we're helpable. Right? If we have people who can, can hold us to those goals, because we're all human.
Yes. And I think, and just kind of coming back again, figuring out my tendency was like a really big light bulb moment for me, because I figured that out back in September, I think. And I was like, oh shit, that makes so much sense. That's why I am the way that I am. And this is why I need to have these people aligning with me. And the difference that that has made has been a six-figure difference from last year to this year. So I can only imagine what next year is going to look like, building on the momentum of this year.
Absolutely. And having that personal insight and being open to personal insight is always one of those fuels for moving things forward.
Yeah. And I think that's another big piece kind of moving forward this year, is we went through an exercise where we were in a hot seat, and the person in the hot seat, so you would ask your question to the group, and your role in the hot seat was just to accept everybody's opinions or options or solutions or whatever. And the biggest thing, and this is something I've now transformed myself to do and not do, is say, I know, or yeah, I did that, or, you know, immediately give them some sort of a block. when somebody is trying to tell me something like, I can help you with this, or have you thought about that? And our initial response, I think, as humans is, oh, yeah, I know that, or yeah, I did that, or I've been thinking about that, or yeah, you know, you immediately have kind of like this block. And it was amazing the difference when people were giving you information and my response was, thank you, or yes, or I get it, or something like that. And it was a it was more of like a free flowing, like you weren't putting up the blockades, you're allowing information to flow towards you. And so my word for 2018 is acceptance, and it's going to be acceptance of free energy and free information that comes to me. And I'm not going to say no, or I know about that, or I've heard that, or I've done that before. I'm really trying to stop myself from blocking off any level of abundance that can come towards me, be it financial, informative, energy. And that was a big, big insight for me, is how often we don't even realize we do it, but we immediately block off something that could be extremely valuable. But we just get into our logical mindset instead of just saying, thank you, or I get it, or I'll look into that, or that sounds like a good idea. Doesn't mean you have to do anything with it, but just don't be using a negative terminology to block it off.
Yeah, it's interesting when we just start to open ourselves up, what we actually start to see. How do you distinguish between the noise of you should, you could, you can, you should try, and the signals?
I don't know. Describe that to me in a different way. Like, give me an example.
Well, I'm just thinking, we were both just part of the Dream Business Summit. And yes. I find one of the things that happens is you go to a summit and you're like, you come away and you're buzzing, you're excited, but you're like, whoa, that was a lot of, you should try this, you should do this, this is the best thing, everyone's doing this. And I find sometimes I really have to stop and go, I have an algorithm that I move through in a process, but like before I did, I was like, there's a lot of noise here and there's a lot of shoulds. And I found that overwhelming. And then I really stopped and I was like, I need a process so that I'm really understanding the signals so that I contextualize this advice to where I'm at, what I actually need. And it changes noise to finding the code within the noise. Do you have a process you go through?
Yeah. Okay. So I definitely can understand what you're talking about now. And it's very hard. It is very hard to not succumb to all the opinions that everybody has around how you can be successful. Every time I go onto Facebook, there's a new person that's saying, you know, here's how you can get more coaching clients. Here's why you should be using Messenger bots. Here's why you should be doing Instagram. Here's Pinterest. And this is why Pinterest is amazing. And I think for me, it just came to a point where I was like, I just have to pick a lane and stay in it and get really good at driving in that lane. And when I feel like I'm now can put that on cruise control, then maybe I will take a little detour, but I'm still following that same lane, that same road. And that took an incredible amount of resilience on my part. And I still find myself deflecting and going on little tangents that I shouldn't be going on. So I would just have to say, I just kind of, because I've mapped things out in such a linear way now, I know what my path is. And not everybody who's listening is going to have that solution. But I would encourage you to take even 15 minutes to just say, okay, what would I like the stream of my business to look like? I'm going to pick one social media site and be really good at it there and be very distinct about my messaging on that particular site. And I'm just going to focus on this one other program or talent or software or whatever. And do that until you're really, really good at it. And then when you get really good at it, you can move forward. Because I will tell you, every single person that says you should is picking one lane. That's why they're telling you that you should do their lane, because they're really good at it. So if all of these people are really good at their own lane, then that basically means you can pick any lane and be good at it. But you just have to pick one. And that also significantly reduces the overwhelm and the chaos if you just do that. But it takes a tremendous amount of discipline to do that.
And once you pick your lane, stop listening to everybody else.
Yeah, just crank up the music and just fly. Put on your blinders.
Play your own game. Andrea, what do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy, what I'd really love to be known for, like if I were to just quit and retire, is I want to be the person that really stepped up and made a change. And for me, that is in the naturopathic and healthcare community, is I want to be that person that was like, you know what, she was one of those people that instead of complaining about the situation, really stepped up and found a solution for us and made, you know, made a massive difference in my success as a practitioner. That is really like, that would make me feel pretty amazing. And I mean, that goes with my patients as well. Being that person that really influenced a change in their life, that's kind of what it instilled the whole Maxim movement to begin with. But more than anything, I just want to be that one person that kind of stood up and said, I'm going to make a difference and made significant changes in people's lives.
How do you define health?
The only way that I can say is health is something that you feel completely contented by. And why I say it that way is because I'm not going to sit and tout myself as like the healthiest eater, or I go to the gym all the time and I drink all the water I'm supposed to and I take my supplements every single day, because I don't. But I am incredibly accepting of what my life looks like and the limitations that I have. And I know where my, non-negotiables are. And I know what my negotiables are, and I know what my hard yeses are. And I'm just very, very contented with that. And I think that really plays the most on my mental health. And I think mental health, as you and I both know, can pretty much dictate everything else. So if your mental health is contented, I'm pretty sure the rest of you is pretty healthy.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz.
Yeah, and this is such a perfect segue to the second part of the interview. And this is where I ask a series of questions called key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I think we have them in our health. And you alluded to some of the behind the scenes non-negotiables. So it's sort of a perfect place to ask these questions. So if you will indulge me, I've got 6 rapid fire questions coming your way. Okay. Yeah. First one, do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
My morning routine is absolute chaos, and the goal is to get the girls out of the house as quickly as possible. That's like 15 to 20 minutes, and the girls are dressed in the car, and we are on the road. That is my morning routine.
Thank you for the truth of chaos, because people, it's not pretty getting these kids out the door.
It's a fun game that we play every morning.
Right. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
I don't read. I'm really bad at reading books.
I love it.
I have no attention span. If I were to choose one, I typically like nonfiction.
Okay, fair enough. The most consistent answer we clearly have ever had on the Anthropology podcast. What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Sleep.
Beauty.
Yeah, I'm in bed by no later than like 10 almost every night, and I sleep until probably 5:30 or 6. Not well because of my kids, but my sleep is pretty good.
Right. Fair enough. What do you do for fun or play?
I love watching like baking championships on TV. Like the Food Network is like my jam.
If you tell me you can make one of those cakes, then we have got ourselves some badass content.
No, I make sure I have snacks while I'm watching it. I always eat while I'm watching the Food Network because I will never aspire to cooking any of those things. But I really, really enjoy watching people do it.
I love it. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I am going to go with successful entrepreneurs will create an environment that will birth that. So either they're living in an environment with entrepreneurs or they will expose themselves to an environment of entrepreneurs. I feel like it's hard to be an entrepreneur all on your own without any motivational support or any without having an example to live off of. Is that a good answer?
Yeah. And we talked about that before, right? When you surround yourself with expectations that just become common and ingrained and we take for granted, then you just start to live that life.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't sure and you want to become an entrepreneur, then just surround yourselves in entrepreneurs. You're either going to walk out because you just can't handle us because we're crazy, or you'll be like, these are my people.
Yep.
Dr. Andrea Maxim, it has been a pleasure to have you. Where can people find out more about what you're up to?
You can check out my podcast, which is the Profitable Practice Podcast. And my website is maximizedbusiness.ca. I'm also on Instagram at Andrea Maxim ND.
Amazing. Happy holidays to you and your family. Thank you so much for being here.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.